Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is all about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of our life, and we'll discover some of the wisdom found in different cultures about this topic. These talks are based on the works of Gautam Ali Shah. He's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker, and author for over 15 years based in Lahore, Pakistan. Today's topic, we're going to discuss the hugely famous and successful book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And we'll look at the 7 habits in a bit of detail, along with Gautam Ali Shah's insightful wisdom added in, and how we can use these 7 habits to improve our life. Gautama Buddha said, "The thought manifests as word, and the word manifests as deed, and the deed manifests into habit, and the habit hardens into our character." So our habits define our lives. Success and happiness don't just fall into our lap. If we want something, we have to develop those habits that'll bring it about. The author of this book says that these 7 habits will help bring that about. He says there are certain habits that can enable us to grow, to improve, and become more effective in order to attain our goals. According to Covey, these principles and habits are universal. They stay true in every age, in every era, and at any place in the world. So how did Covey come up with these 7 habits? Well, as a university professor with an MBA degree from Harvard, Covey spent more than 3 decades studying, practicing, teaching, and refining what he ultimately condensed into this book. And he says that these 7 habits are natural laws, that he has simply organized them, and that they can be applied to different aspects of life, not just business, but also to relationships, raising children, our religion, etc. Before we get into the 7 habits, let's discuss the enormous success of this book. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People has sold over 25 million copies. It's been translated into 40 different languages, and even the audiobook has sold a record-breaking over 1 million copies. And this book was so popular that Stephen Covey's son decided to write a version of the book for a younger audience. Sean Covey wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. Okay, so let's get into the meat of the book. Stephen Covey starts by introducing us to the concept of a paradigm shift, which basically is about bringing major changes into our old perceptions of things. He stresses that 2 people can perceive the same thing in drastically different ways. So it's important for us to welcome and understand different perspectives on things and be open to change. I think here he's trying to get us ready to accept these 7 habits. Okay, so Gautam Ali Shah says that as we go through these habits, we'll start to understand those opposite habits that ineffective or unproductive people have. The first 3 habits are really about mastering ourselves. And this is interesting. I looked up self-mastery, and it's the extent or strength of one's belief in one's own ability to complete a task and reach goals. And scientists believe that our belief that we can affect a situation has a huge impact on how we face challenges competently and the choices we make. I mean, that's incredible. Okay, and the next 3 habits, 4 through 6, are about interdependence. And they have to do with how well we work with others. And the last habit addresses both intrapersonal and interpersonal spheres of our lives. And it's about a continuous renewal of ourself. Okay, so let's start with the first habit, proactiveness. Highly effective people are proactive. And we talked about this in a few of our other podcasts already. Proactive people take responsibility for their lives and they make choices according to their beliefs and goals. And they aren't dictated by just circumstance or by other people. They don't just react in life. On the other hand, ineffective people by default are reactionary. Reactionary people not only wait around and do nothing until they absolutely have to, but they normally deal with situations illogically. They don't accept responsibility and they always end up blaming others for their failures. And here Gautam Ali Shah stresses that we should learn to see life as something difficult. It shouldn't be taken as something light or easy. Yes, there are times of ease when we're enjoying a meal, watching TV, on vacation, going to sleep. Oh, how I miss sleeping. But this is a tiny part of our life. Life is really about challenges and hardships. And in fact, there's a verse in the Quran where God says, "Indeed, we have created man into toil and struggle." So clearly, life is not supposed to be easy. Oh boy. But we can minimize our hardships in life by being proactive and making things happen before they happen to us, making the right decisions at the right time. Because as Tony Robbins says, the right decisions at the wrong time gives pain. So we can focus on doing those things that we can do. Okay, Covey explains a brilliant concept of his called the circle of influence and the circle of concern. So imagine two circles. So let's draw a big circle on a piece of paper. Then within the circle, draw a smaller circle. Now in the big circle, we're going to write those things that we can't personally control. We might be concerned about them, but we can't affect those things too much. For example, our economy, politics, wars. Then in the inside, the smaller circle called the circle of influence, we'll write things that we have a concern about, but we can also have some control or influence over. Things like our health, our behavior, our work. So proactive people focus on their circle of influence. They try to do things that are under their control. And their positivity in work makes this circle bigger. And they end up becoming more influential and more effective as they go through life. But reactive people, on the other hand, consume their energy focusing on those things in the bigger circle of concern. And because of their negativity, their lack of work, their circle of influence keeps shrinking. And I think we all know people like this who complain a lot about the world, but do so little about it. Okay, so for me, in my circle of concern, I could write things like world hunger, child abuse, poverty, illiteracy, things that, you know, I might worry about, but I feel are kind of out of my control or I can do very little about. And in my smaller circle, I could write things like my job, my family, my kids, my home, my finances, my health. So this exercise helps us to put focus on the smaller circle and not spend our precious time complaining or worrying about the larger one. In fact, if we do put our energy and time into the circle of influence, it will get bigger. And as Covey explains, it will also affect our circle of concern. So for me, I'm thinking if I do my job right, if I'm a great mom, if I budget my finances well, me and my family could actually end up doing a lot of good for maybe one of the causes in my circle of concern. But again, my priority should be on my circle of influence first. Okay, let's move on to number two. Habit number two of highly effective people is beginning with the end in mind. This is really about having a vision, a goal. Covey here emphasizes that we should always consider the consequences of what we do beforehand. Qasim Ali Shah says that he often asks his counseling clients to do a small exercise. He does some personal counseling whenever he has time off from his training sessions. So he asks them to write all those thoughts and issues that they have on their minds, the one that take up the most time and energy for them throughout the day. And then he asks them if these things that they've written down are actually important in their life. Do they have a big impact? Are they meaningful? Or are these things just inconsequential burdens that they are carrying around? The point of this exercise is he's trying to get people to clear their minds of those meaningless things that often take hold of our thoughts and make room for what is important. And that's our vision, our goals in life. And once we have a vision, we know where we want to go, it becomes easier to focus ourselves in the right direction. So beginning with the end in mind saves two things, our time and resources, mental, physical, and material. When we don't have to overthink things, we can make decisions quicker and we put our resources in the right place. A great way to incorporate this habit into our lives is having a vision statement or mission statement for our lives. What do we want to accomplish? There's a man by the name of Muhammad Yunus who was born in 1940 in current-day Bangladesh. And he was the third of nine children, raised in a lower middle-class family. But he was extremely intelligent. He was an exceptional student his whole life. And in 1965, he received the Fulbright Scholarship to study in the U.S. And he did his PhD in economic development from Tennessee's Vanderbilt University. After the Bangladesh Liberation War of 1971, he returned to his home country. And what happened shortly after changed his life forever. The Bangladesh famine of 1974 saw 1.5 million people dying of starvation, as well as diseases like cholera, malaria, and diarrheic diseases. Of course, those affected were mostly the poor. It's said that the wage laborers suffered the highest mortality of all groups during this time. Seeing this horrific event, Yunus decided to do something. He had a vision to change things in his country. So he started on his journey to eradicate poverty. His first project was to establish a rural economic program as part of his research. In 1976, he discovered that loaning small amounts of money to the poor would result in huge benefits to their families. And these were people who had no way of getting normal loans from banks, like the very poor, women, the illiterate and unemployed people of the country. And in his studies, he found that these type of people were very highly likely to pay off their loans. So Yunus thought microcredit would be a great business model, benefiting both the lender and the borrower. So he decided to start on his own. He gave $27 of his own money to 42 different women in a village. After this, Yunus got the government-owned Janata Bank to start giving loans of this type. By 1983, the full-fledged project was named Grameen Bank, meaning village bank. And within 15 years, this project had lent over $6 billion to over 7 million borrowers, with over a 94% of these being women because they were more likely to be poor and more likely to spend their earnings on their families. So that's millions of people who would never have had the access to money to start businesses, the most underserved people. And Grameen also brought about social development in many other ways, other projects to help eradicate poverty. One of them is the 16 Decisions, which is a set of values that all borrowers have to agree to follow when they take out a loan. One of those is about education for children, so almost all Grameen borrowers today have their school-aged children enrolled in school. This is one of their attempts to bring about social change to eliminate factors for poverty. And today, well over 100 countries also offer this model of Grameen Bank's microfinance. In 2006, Muhammad Yunus and Grameen Bank were jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The list of awards and recognitions for Muhammad Yunus is so long, I'm not going to read it, but just to mention a few, he has received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Congressional Gold Medal, the World Food Prize, and he's been given over 50 honorary doctorate degrees from over 20 countries. And the list just goes on and on. Yunus had and still has an end goal of eradicating poverty while pursuing his vision, and he's not done yet. Amazing. Okay, the third habit of highly effective people is that they put first things first. So they know the value and consequences of their actions. They know what matters, and they focus on accomplishing the most urgent and important things first. So here, priority is the key. Gautam Ali Shah says that we can have the highest goals. We can say, oh, I want to climb the tallest mountain. I want to be the richest man in America. I want to have the most followers on Facebook. I mean, whatever. But we first need to prioritize the steps we need to take us there. A priority list to guide our actions. He says that living according to priorities is a day-to-day affair. So if we don't value our daily priorities, chances are we're not going to be able to value our weekly or monthly priorities. Because days make weeks, weeks make months make years. So a great way to start learning to prioritize is to start with one day. Examine what we need to do in a particular day. And this all takes planning. And Stephen Covey gives a really nifty little way to help us plan our priorities. He describes it as a quadrant, a square with four compartments, two on top and two on bottom. But I think it'll be easier for me to detail this to you in a list. So Covey says our tasks can be put into one of four categories. Number one, urgent and important. These tasks have first priority. Number two, important and non-urgent. Number three, urgent and non-important. And last, non-urgent and non-important. Obviously, these tasks will be prioritized last. So I have a huge desk calendar that I try my best to put everything I can on that's either urgent or important coming up in the next few weeks, like an appointment or a birthday. Right now, I have due taxes written on it repeatedly. And I also have an online Outlook calendar for work, which I write down everything that I need to do in each of my workdays. I even have like 15-minute entries that say reply to so-and-so's email. And because I often have to do work in the wee hours of the night, because as part of my job, we often have to work on systems in their downtime or work with team members from India, I have calendar entries for day and for night. So I'm often looking at both of these calendars throughout my day. And in my mind, I'll just kind of merge them, but I'll constantly remind myself what I need to do that's important or urgent. But this really helps me plan for those extra things of the week that might not be urgent or important. Like, oh, can I call my friends over for a girls' night in one of these days? Or can I grab a movie one of these nights? And I mean Redbox or Netflix, because with me and my husband's schedules, we never get to go out to see a movie, like ever. So all of these non-urgent, non-important things, I only consider once I have my important and urgent things taken care of. So priorities is what it's about, really. And Covey so stresses this habit of putting first things first. In 1994, he came up with a separate book called First Things First. And he says that people often fail at their goals because they are not clear about where to start and about their priorities. Okay, habit number four, think win-win. This habit is really about wanting everyone to benefit, because winning doesn't mean someone has to lose. I mean, most business is done because both parties are getting something out of it. It's a win on both sides. And when we start to think of others on our journey to success, we end up getting a lot more out of it. People will see that we have good intentions towards them, our relationships will get stronger, and the better our relationships are, the more opportunities we'll end up having. Covey actually founded the abundance mentality, which argues that there are enough successes and riches and wins for everyone. He rejects the theory that one person's win is someone else's failure. And the abundance mentality allows a person to hope for and celebrate everyone's success. Qasim Ali Shah is a hugely successful trainer in Pakistan. I mean, when I call him, he's pretty much always on the road. I mean, he is usually in a different city every day of the week. And I don't know how he does that. But one of the keys to his success are his viral training videos on YouTube. So in his early days learning his craft, he noticed that many of the classes he would attend by big name motivational speakers and trainers wouldn't allow people to have cell phones or cameras or any kind of electronic recording device. And he wasn't able to fully benefit from a lot of the information that he was getting from these speakers. So when he started teaching, he decided that all of his talks would be available for free to the public. Qasim Ali Shah's team puts up all of his training videos. And that is pretty amazing, because it means that he has to continuously change and update his seminars and come up with different learning material. And it means giving access to all his material to other trainers. But none of this has affected his success. He actually loves the fact, and it's one of his goals, to be of benefit to others and to better society. And millions of views of his videos proves that he has truly done this. Habit number five of highly effective people is seek first to understand, then be understood. Covey describes this habit as empathic listening. There's a Chinese character that's said to have this meaning. It's really a beautiful symbol. It has five different sides to it, and they are you, ears, eyes, attention, and heart. And it's said to mean to listen with a virtuous heart. And I thought that was really the best meaning of empathic listening that I could find. But it's really about us giving our full attention to someone, to give them care and understanding, and then getting the same care and understanding reciprocated back to us. Covey says most people don't listen with the intent of understanding. They listen with the intent to reply. So we should be giving respect to other people's opinions and have a balance between talking and listening. In fact, most of the world's religions and philosophies teach and praise the one who talks less. In James 1:19, God says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." The Dalai Lama says, "When you talk, you're only repeating what you already know, but when you listen, you may learn something new." Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." The Prophet Muhammad says, "Say something or remain silent." And the Greek philosopher Epictetus said, "We have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen more than we speak." Okay, habit number 6. I found this habit was not as popular with many business reviewers. Maybe it doesn't have the same universal relevance that some of the other habits do, but nonetheless, it does find some backing with other self-development theories. And this habit is called synergize. And I'm sure you've all heard our episode 9, where we reviewed the 13 keys to success outlined in the incredible book, Think and Grow Rich, a book 25 years in the making. Well, in it, Napoleon Hill suggests that working with like-minded people is a key to being successful. He calls it the mastermind concept, which essentially means to work in a team, really, because Hill is saying to surround ourselves with others that have a similar goal to us. So basically, Covey and Hill are promoting a type of teamwork, that being able to work together and learn and grow together is essential in being effective and successful at anything. Okay, number 7, the last habit of highly successful people is called sharpen your saw. This habit is really about constantly trying to improve ourselves. And that's really what this podcast is about, personal growth. Covey says that personal growth should be done in a systematic way so that it becomes part of our daily life. He suggested 4 areas in life that need our constant upgrading. By the way, our last episode, episode 12, is about upgrading ourselves, so make sure you have listened to that. So the areas that we should consider for constant improvement are physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially or emotionally. Covey suggests for physical renewal, could be a good prayer. For mental renewal, maybe some good reading. For spiritual renewal, maybe some service to society. And Covey suggests spending at least 1 hour every day in self-improvement activities. And here are some additional ideas that I came up with. You can put them into whatever category you want, but it's just a list of ideas that can help us in our path to personal growth. Okay, eating better. Starting a new exercise regime. Making time for family and friends. Starting a hobby we enjoy. Reading for 30 minutes every day. Exercising for 30 minutes every day. Maybe listening to an enlightening podcast. Spending more time with our kids. And this could be cooking together, taking regular walks together. Anything positive, really. Volunteering at a local soup kitchen or a local school. Attending worship services. Praying daily. Meditation or doing breathing exercises. Taking a new class or learning a new skill. Okay, so these are just some ideas that'll help us sharpen our saw. It begins with self-examination and then improving, being better than we were before. And this in turn will help us attain that happiness and success that we want to achieve. So today we discussed Stephen Covey's book and principles, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Again, they are being proactive, begin with the end in mind, put first things first, think win-win, seek first to understand, then be understood, synergize, and sharpen the saw. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate each and every one of you listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please share it with others through Facebook or Twitter or in any way you can. And of course, please feel free to share your comments and questions with us. You can message us on our website, www.happinessnowpodcast.com, or send us a message on Facebook. Until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.